This is the Adam Gold Show.
It's like the first time all year, in my recollection, that you got something that might not have been 100% right.
That's not, you know, listen, I have the memory of a goldfish when it comes to these predictions. So yes, sounds like it was the first time, because I don't remember any times when I got anything wrong. Snap and clear, baby. We just keep it moving. I'll tell you what, and to those who listen to the Cover 3 podcast are already well aware of this, but I went 0-9 on last week's locks.
Excuse you?
Which is honestly more impressive than going 9-0, if you ask me.
I'm with you on that. It's hard to lose all of them.
It really is. Yeah.
Wow.
So,
are you still in first place?
No. I am losing. I had a good distance on Tom and Danny for second place. Right. Bud is in first, and I think he was like he had finally pulled like more than 10 or 11 games away, so he's closing in on the season championship. But I'm getting close to having to step down on the podium to take that bronze. I gotta finish strong. It's a spray the board Saturday for conference championship week. So
we're gonna talk about the conference championships in a second. But since we started talking about Clemson, we use the phrase all year long, these things have a way of working themselves out. Well, that pretty much explains the ACC eliminating itself from any playoff conversation. Carolina did that the week before against Georgia Tech. And then Clemson, who could have, I mean, if Carolina was a 10 win team in Charlotte on Saturday night, and Clemson was 12-1 after beating Carolina, then maybe Clemson is still in the mix if somebody else falters. But
Clemson's ahead of Alabama. Like if Clemson doesn't blow it, heck,
right.
If Clemson makes one more play against South Carolina and is able to win that game by any margin, then Ohio State's at 5, Clemson's at 6, Clemson is likely eliminated. As it depends on what you think about TCU, where the path that Clemson would need would be both Utah over USC on Friday night and then Kansas State blowing the doors off of TCU,
right.
Which, granted, the way that Kansas State was beating TCU in the first half of the game those two teams played earlier this year, it's not totally unlikely.
No.
Long odds, the way that TCU is playing. But Clemson, if it had got made one more play, gotten one more score, would have been in the number 6 spot in these college football playoff rankings and just needing a Kansas State blowout win and a Utah win over USC to be able to keep that door open.
Chip Patterson is with us, as he is every Wednesday. But didn't it really tell us more about Clemson? And I go, whether it's the game at Notre Dame, the close call at home with Syracuse, weren't those teaching moments for us about what Clemson really was as a team?
I think that we've seen it more on the back half of the season as the defense has deteriorated, and it has deteriorated really starting on the back end of that defense. And that secondary allowed explosive plays to Louisville, and that secondary got torched by Spencer Rattler. And the what we have seen from that group goes all the way back, honestly, to the Wake Forest game, when Sam Hartman just continued to move the ball down the field against him, so much so that the Clemson defensive staff had to say, all right, we're just going to give up on pass rush because we have to commit so many bodies to defending these Wake Forest wide receivers that we can't worry about trying to get into the backfield, which, as you and I have discussed, led to Wake Forest running the ball because they just simply had numbers in the box. So defensively, it's interesting. I think North Carolina is going to be facing an easier defensive challenge going up against Clemson than it did against NC State. I think NC State has the ACC's best defense, and that defense did clearly like a fantastic job against North Carolina. And now I think life is actually going to be not as easy on the offensive line, but NC State's defensive line is still really good too.
Yeah.
So we've been doing all the frustration and all the hand-wringing about there's not great wide receivers at Clemson, and DJU has not been good, and the offense looks, kind of like stodgy and clunky, but defensively, this has not been the elite unit we were expecting either. And I think that that was especially exposed against the Gamecocks.
Well, here's what I want to go back to the Wake Forest game just for a little bit. I know they threw the ball. Wake Forest threw the ball with great success against Clemson. But in the last part of that game, they lined up and ran it well, too. And had they not gotten a couple of plays where they got behind the chains, or they call it what, off schedule, I guess.
Off schedule,
off schedule. Then it looked to me like they were going to be able to run the ball down the field and beat Clemson. So maybe those two things work. They probably do work hand in hand, where having to commit so many players to the pass defense eliminated the took players off the line of scrimmage and made all of that more difficult. Maybe all of it's related. It probably all is related. But anyway, we didn't see the same Clemson team and they haven't had a good offensive line, a really good offensive line, in a number of years. So, and as good a running back as Will Shipley is, to not have a great running game as a team, I think is noticeable. When I watch them, I don't see a team that can line up and run it at you when you know they're going to run it at you.
The frustration within this Clemson community is so notable right now because it's created this position where all you were thinking at the end of last season was we need to get back to our place, which is running this conference.
Right.
Six straight conference championships. Clemson fans know the hotels they like to stay in. They know the restaurants they like to go to. They got whole daggum weekend routines set up for the first Saturday in December. Mm-hmm. And they're back and they're here. And do they want to win? I mean, of course they want to win, but I would argue that a Clemson fan might just not want to lose because this Clemson team needs to make changes.
Yeah.
They need to bring in fresh ideas. They need to change things up because this Clemson team, if they win against North Carolina on Saturday night and the offense looks good, Dabo gets to go to the podium and say, "See, this was my guy all year long. You guys doubted him. You know, everybody Everybody tells me about what they got to do, but y'all, we just won an ACC championship. And last I heard, conference championships are hard to win." I mean, he's doing that like you should be happy for the success that we had. And he kind of teased it at the end of last year when he said, "We're not guaranteed anything. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to stop taking winning for granted." And the fact is that if Clemson wins the ACC championship and Dabo is reinforced that nothing is wrong, and then he uses that to not make any changes, then we are only going to continue to see Clemson fall short of those larger national goals.
If we hadn't watched North Carolina over the last 2 weeks, then it would be much easier for me to go, "I think Carolina is going to beat them." And I think Carolina could, because I think Carolina's offense could be good enough, even though they don't have much of a running game. And maybe Clemson can just worry about one side of the ball. But my feeling about UNC is this. When the moment is big, they aren't. That's what I have seen this year. And this is a big moment, I think. Am I wrong?
So I'm trying to think. I thought that in Wake... I will push back because I think that to use Mac Brown's own assessment, North Carolina was not that much better than its schedule this year. So North Carolina actually was bigger in those moments than the team was good because North Carolina found ways to make plays against Pitt. North Carolina found ways to make plays against Wake Forest. North Carolina found ways to make plays against Duke. North Carolina finished at the top of the Coastal Division with, again, Matt Brown's own assessment of his team when they weren't that much better than anybody else in that Coastal Division. They just happened to show up and make the winning plays that they needed down the stretch. They did not make those plays against NC State. They did not make those plays against Georgia Tech. But for a large portion of this schedule, it was a team that was playing with fire that was showing up and making the plays that it needed to down the stretch. I think that North Carolina is coming in as the looser team. I think that it would be hilarious to watch North Carolina bounce back from two losses to win the ACC championship. And I think that you've got the better quarterback and you're playing with a very different set of expectations. I would not be surprised if the Tar Heels claim their first conference title in 42 years on Saturday night.
I won't be surprised either. And the reason I said it the way I did, because I think just in terms of XO strength, weakness, I think Carolina can easily win this game. Easily is the wrong term there, but that will not surprise me at all. I don't know what the spread is. I think they're probably a touchdown underdog if I was guessing.
Seven and a hook.
Oh, I would take the – I mean, if none of these – because I think there's a difference between the moment and winning those games. I think Pitt was just okay. I actually think that the Duke loss to me was way more on Duke than it was on North Carolina, although Carolina stepped through the crack in the door and won the game late. I thought that was – I mean, Duke had two touchdowns. Called back by penalty, right?
Wake was a win, though.
That was a good win. That was their best moment of the season. And I would agree with you that is more of a moment than some of those other wins that Carolina won late. But the opportunity against Notre Dame was a total no-show. The kicking the Georgia Tech game. I actually think the Georgia Tech loss way worse than the NC State loss. And I know State was down to their fourth quarterback. I don't care. State's offense was their offense this year. They could have had their ninth quarterback and been almost as effective the way they played offense for much of the season. But that defense was elite. They were awesome.
A Josh Downs drop against Georgia Tech and multiple missed chip shot field goals against NC State. You know, there's very fine margins with this, both ways, I think, for the Tar Heels.
All right, we'll talk more. We haven't even talked about the playoff yet. You hinted at it with TCU. So when we come back, we're going to talk about, I think the first two are locks, no matter what happens on Saturday.
Unless Michigan shutters its program. I was just asked on CBS Sports HQ, the segment's actually about to run here in the next 3 minutes. They said, how does Alabama get into the playoff? I said, okay, so Purdue beats Michigan and Michigan shutters its program. The Boilermakers make Jim Harbaugh say, you know what? Hundreds of years of football and the biggest win that we've had in 22 years. That's it. And if Michigan does shutter its program, then yes, Alabama can get it.
All right, we'll talk about the playoff and what might happen this weekend with Chip Patterson next.
Wingstop's doing what they do best, taking flavor to the next level. So when chicken sandwiches only came in spicy and plain, Wingstop said, nah, make it 12 flavors. Lemon pepper chicken sandwich, OG hot, mango habanero. You get the picture? Every famous Wingstop flavor, now on the new Wingstop chicken sandwich. Try all 12 and find your favorite at Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings. Huh.
Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com, Cover 3 podcast moderator, who I believe, as we speak, while on with us, is also on CBS Sports HQ. But as much as I respect that conversation, this is the better one. All right, let's get to a couple of items. Did you have any issues at all with the top four? Not the teams in it, but could you make an argument for USC over TCU at three?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
All right.
I'm sorry. Does USC have zero losses? TCU does?
No. Oh. I agree. I understand.
Also, I mean, if you want to get nitty gritty about
it. Okay. Ooh.
Notre Dame played pretty well against USC.
Yeah, it was. I don't think USC's great.
Yeah,
I have my questions about whether or not TCU is great, but it's hard to go 12-0 without being great. Mm-hmm. We know teams have done it, in group of five situations, but it's hard to be 12-0 without being a great football team. So TCU overcame some difficult games down the road and then just laid the wood to Iowa State, but Iowa State's no good. That what happened to that program, by the way?
I would say that Matt Campbell's a name to watch at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's a better job than Iowa State.
100%. And I was really, I was actually, Luke Fickell, really? Did you want to leave for Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
That's a big step up.
You and I have completely different views of Wisconsin.
I think there's also the Wisconsin side of it, which is I think that's a big boy move to say the old timey family hire is good enough, because the pressure to make, you're about to lose your path to the Big Ten championship when division play goes away, and USC and UCLA are about to join the conference. If Wisconsin didn't hit this hire out of the park, then they were going to fall into being the eighth best job in the Big Ten. Right now, there is an open door to be the fifth best job in the Big Ten, but they've got to get somebody who is an amazing program builder, Luke Fickell, check.
Right.
Somebody who's an elite evaluator of talent, check.
Okay.
And developer of talent, check. Luke Fickell just put more players in the NFL draft than everybody but Georgia and LSU last year.
They had a good draft.
The Luke Fickell hire was what Wisconsin needed to do to avoid being relegated permanently to the middle class of the conference. And now they'll have a chance to be right there in the mix. You know, they're never going to be Michigan. They're never going to be Ohio State. Mm-hmm. They're probably never going to be Penn State, but you can be muscling out, and they're not going to be USC.
Right.
But you can be muscling out almost everybody else for being next up behind those programs.
I completely agree with that. From a Wisconsin perspective, they needed a good hire. And Luke Fickell's a really good hire, so I'm not even arguing that. My argument is from the Luke Fickell perspective that you are going to be a pretty good annual winner in the Big 12, I think. Because I think you can win big based in just recruiting Ohio at the University of Cincinnati. It's a great state. Michigan recruits the hell out of Ohio. So I think you can win really big at Cincinnati. I think to me the big thing is the finances, because Cincinnati, no way they can pay what Wisconsin can pay in the Big Ten. All right, let me get to finish.
Luke Fickell did not want to play the game. Now that the game is legal, he's going to have to learn how to play the game. And when Cincinnati tried to pass around the hat to prepare to play the game, I don't think that they're going to be able to hang with the rest of the Big 12.
Understood.
I think there are a lot of Big 12 programs that have a war chest that is going to lead to them losing a lot of recruiting battles in the Big 12. Cincinnati's not going to have a West Virginia experience, but it is not going to be competing for conference championships as regularly as it did in the American.
All right, let's go beyond the top four from the college football playoff, because I think it's all standard. If TCU wins, they're there. If Southern Cal wins, they're there. Personally, I would rather see a Southern Cal Michigan semifinal than a Michigan TCU semifinal, and have a because I think TCU, of those four teams, I would choose TCU fourth, but regardless, doesn't matter. And maybe if Southern Cal has a big win over the only team they lost to, maybe that will happen in the final accounting. But let's go beyond the top four. Explain to me why Alabama is ahead of Tennessee in the playoff ranking.
Alabama?
Alphabetically. They did it alphabetically.
They clearly did it alphabetically, because do you know what Alabama does not have? Alabama does not have a top 10 win.
No.
What Alabama does not have? Alabama does not have a top 15 win, because Alabama's best win is a 1-point win against the number 20 team in the college football playoff rankings. While Tennessee has defeated Alabama and Tennessee has defeated LSU.
Yep.
Tennessee has multiple top 15 wins.
It's amazing.
And yet finds itself behind Alabama.
And neither Alabama nor Tennessee have another game. So it's hard to imagine, although Boo Corrigan, I guess, said that this is not static. I don't know. I just don't know how you would change the trajectory of those two teams when neither will play. And it makes no sense to me. But to me, if Southern Cal or TCU lost, for my money, and I know Tennessee is a different team now because there's no Hendon Hooker, and maybe that's the reason.
And this
but
is the other
thing. I would put Tennessee in the playoff before I would put Alabama or Ohio State.
As I've told you before, I do know that the team sheet has a lot of statistics.
Mm-hmm.
And Alabama's statistics do look good.
Great.
Like they, you know, in terms of all their yards per play allowed, you know, like finishing drive statistics, like everything that's on that team sheet, they look like a pretty good, well-rounded team. But when we get down here to the very end of the season, I would just so much rather it be about the results and about what you did on the field. I would rather this be merit-based. And when you have an explicit head-to-head result that had already been recorded, I didn't like that at all.
So why is Ohio State still fifth other than it's Ohio State? Because their overall body of work is just okay. I mean, I realize they're 11-1, so that in and of itself is great.
Yeah, they're a one-loss team with the one loss coming to the number two team in the country. And just by having one loss, you're going to jump to the front of the line. And Ohio State, like Alabama, on paper, on the team sheet, stat mm-hmm. sheet,
right,
looks like one of the best teams in the country.
I get it. I mean, I know the win over Penn State looks better because Penn State doesn't, you know, they didn't play. Penn State lost to the two good teams they played.
Yeah, right. They got worked by. Oh, they didn't get worked by Ohio State. They played really well.
They played
Ohio
well against. I think they were competitive in both of the games, weren't they?
Michigan was less competitive than Ohio State, but that's. I mean, I'll tell you what. I don't know how much. I don't know how much time we got here, buddy. I think Auburn could have done better than Hugh Freeze, and maybe they couldn't have. But
I know who they should have hired, but
James Franklin.
They should have hired Cadillac Williams.
Oh, well, I think they could do better. I just apparently I must hold Auburn in a higher regard than the market itself. But it seems to me like they found somebody who has two wins against Nick Saban and ignored mm-hmm. the fact that he has about a 500 record as an SEC coach in conference play and that never had a better conference record than 6-2. He was an average SEC coach.
If Cadillac Williams were Jeff Saturday, would he have gotten the Auburn job?
I don't know. I don't know. The Jeff Saturday example is feels a little bit different. Cadillac.
Oh, no. It's definitely different. For what I'm getting at is one obvious reason. Cadillac Williams has been on staff.
Not long though. I mean, that's the problem. Whatever. Nobody. I mean,
he knows the game.
They blew up this staff after year one. Remember, like that was the first thing that led mm-hmm. to Brian Harsin almost getting fired in May. It was that everybody was fleeing for the woods. You know, this is, I don't know. It's
Hugh Freeze is the easy hire because he was good for a hot minute at Ole Miss. It's the easy hire at Auburn.
Hugh Freeze beat Nick Saban twice, like setting everything off to the side.
Right.
I think Auburn could have done better. Like I would have backed up the truck for James Franklin. And been like, you're bumping your head. Like, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best that you're going to do.
But aren't you bumping your head also in the SEC West? Or are they realigning and is Auburn going to kick to the East?
I think that Auburn is a better job than Ole Miss, a better job than Mississippi State. I think it's a better job. I think it's a better job than Texas A&M. I think it's a better job than
Texas A&M money says otherwise, but I think you might be right.
Yeah. I think the ceiling is higher for how you can win and competing for SEC championships at Auburn than it is at everywhere in the West, but Alabama and LSU.
Do we know how the SEC is going to reorganize in terms of divisions when Oklahoma and Texas show up?
Full one conference.
1 through 14 or however many teams there are, 1 through 16?
And there'll be, there won't be technical pods.
Right.
But, you know, there's obviously going to be some kind of scheduling rotation.
Sure. Sure. Because if they separate into two eight-team divisions, then it would make sense. Auburn, who's going to play Georgia every year, rather than make that the permanent crossover game, they would just make Alabama the permanent crossover game. That would make perfect sense to me.
I think it's going to look like the ACC, where everybody will have your protected rivalries, and then everything else rotates through.
That makes a lot of sense. The Big Ten, I think, is keeping divisions, though, no?
They haven't commented one way or the other about what's going to happen. They just haven't promised that they're going to scrap divisions quite yet.
Yeah, but they at least scrapped Legends and Leaders, which was always a train wreck. Ohio State first team in if TCU or USC lose, correct?
I think there are only five teams in the mix for four spots. Ohio State's the only one that could sneak in. I think that unless TCU gets 100% doors blown off, throttled, I think they're still in even with a loss.
Even with a loss, you think TCU is in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Notre Dame did. Notre Dame got in after losing on Conference Championship Saturday.
Yeah, but I think when we got to this point 2 years ago, there was nobody that could make an argument. We all knew that if Clemson beat Notre Dame, we all knew that they were all going. I think at that point, but you might be right anyway.
But Ohio State's the only one loss team. What are you going to bump TCU for a two loss team?
No, not for. I wouldn't bump TCU for a two loss team. No, I agree. Ohio State. I don't think their body of work is amazing, but yeah, they are the only one loss team. Everybody else has two losses. But I would absolutely consider Tennessee is a no brainer to me over Alabama.
And there's also a comment to Tennessee fans who are furious that you just had the easiest path to the playoff ever. Just don't lose to South Carolina.
Right.
Like all you needed to do was beat South Carolina and you would have been right there at the front of the line with your Alabama win and your LSU win.
Yep.
Just rooting for the kind of results that we're talking about, where Kansas State is only a 2.5-point underdog and Utah is only a 3-point underdog, you would be rooting for underdogs of less than a field goal to make it to the college football playoff. But Spencer Rattler hung 60 on the scoreboard.
That was amazing. All right, Carolina or Clemson?
North Carolina, because it would be hilarious.
It would be hilarious. And actually, what you said before, I think it's what Clemson needs.
Yeah.
Clemson needs for it to not all work out for them. And maybe they do. They need to change a lot about what they do.
It's like, doesn't it feel like things have really turned? Like all the good lucky breaks that used to go their way?
I don't know about lucky breaks, but I think like if you're Clemson, you can't be anti-transfer portal. You can't be. I mean, Alabama's not anti-transfer portal.
Nobody's anti-transfer.
No, I mean, you just cannot be that set in your ways where you're going to say no to this. I mean, all the programs do it. I one quick question for you, and I don't want to keep you that much longer anyway. I do, but I can't.
Yeah, for you or for me? I already pre-taped.
Yes. NC State has, through their Pack of Wolves collective, has guaranteed that they will pay every scholarship football player $25,000 in exchange for monthly charity work. I think that's adorable. Is that keeping anybody significant on campus?
I've had my mind blown by the figures that have been thrown out. I don't know. I think the quarterbacks go for a mil.
Yeah, exactly.
I think quarterbacks are going for a mil a year.
The number that was
floated to me, not from someone who knew about any offers, but from somebody who wanted to ask, they said, the number that was floated to me for what they believed the market value would be for Drake May was astounding.
Oh, I'm like sure. Drake May.
It was something that I almost thought that North Carolina would even be repulsed at.
Next year's Heisman Trophy favorite, although Sam Howell was as well a couple of years ago. But
You bet. When I responded back, I was like, North Carolina better hope he really does love living with his brother and like loving North Carolina, because it's not that North Carolina could not. It's just that it's like that game is getting out of control. The market for instant impact transfer quarterbacks is even more than that. So quarterbacks out of high school are a mill a year. That's like the baseline. So imagine somebody who's already proven to be one of the best in the sport.
Amazing. As you are, Chip Patterson, at Chip_Patterson. I appreciate your time. Appreciate you. Happy Thanksgiving, and I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
You got it. All right, Dennis, halftime. We just like the World Cup, we put a lot of extra time up.
And now your halftime entertainment.
By the way, have you noticed how much stoppage time they have added to every half at the World Cup?
Oh, a lot.
Like, if it's under 7 minutes, I'm stunned.
Yeah.
Stunned if it's under 7 minutes.
All right, first bit here in halftime entertainment for you.
Okay.
I'm going to go to your favorite movie.
Gosh, which one?
Well, first I need to remind everyone, since it's the last of the month, rent is due.
Okay,
so, yeah, rent is due. Make sure everyone out there, rent is due.
But there's a grace period always, like a 5-day grace period.
Exactly. I take advantage of it. Right. I just do it just because I can.
Okay.
Simple as that. But yeah, your favorite movie, Top Gun Maverick, going back into theaters.
Really?
Yes.
I haven't seen it yet. I definitely want to see it.
You have a chance between December 2nd and December 15th. It's going to be available in theaters. Again, the movie made $1.48 billion worldwide. Again, I'll say that again. $1.48 billion worldwide. That includes $716 million in North America.
Can I watch it on Amazon or Netflix?
I think it's going to be going to Paramount Plus after it leaves theaters again.
Okay, I don't want
to. I think Paramount Plus.
I'm not getting Paramount Plus.
You could maybe get like a 7-day free trial and watch it, something like that.
Yeah, then
I'm sure you can rent it through Amazon or something along those lines.
That's what I'll probably do.
But anyway, I would encourage you, watch it in theaters. Support your local theaters.
Okay.
See, because actually, it's kind of good timing because outside of Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, there really isn't much in theaters right now until December 16th when Avatar The Way of the Water arrives.
Gosh, no.
I am not watching that movie.
No.
Not going to watch it.
Is there a Godfather 4 that's coming out?
Maybe. I mean, this is just the second of the Avatar movies. Granted, the first one came out in, I think, 06, 07? I think it was 07.
Yeah, Avatar.
But the only reason why that movie was successful was because visually it was very cool because it was in 3D and everyone thought, oh, this visually looks great. Otherwise, the movie stinks. It's Dances with Wolves in outer space. That's all it is. And Dances with Wolves,
I love that.
Way better.
I didn't see Dances with Wolves.
What? Okay, never mind. You know what? I'm just not going to.
Well, honestly, that's not that big a deal that I didn't see Dances with Wolves.
I think it is.
I'm not one of the big screen epics. You must see that. I'm not that guy.
I know. We're opposite in that regard.
I also didn't see Driving Miss Daisy.
I never saw that.
So.
All right. Last thing I'll touch on here because of time. Did you see the Seattle Kraken LA Kings final score yesterday?
I didn't see the final score. I saw the score after two periods. I believe Seattle had a 7-6 lead.
It was 8-6. Final score was 9-8 Kraken in overtime.
Really?
Yes.
Excellent.
So I did some math here because a 9-8 game is wild in the NHL.
Yeah.
So I looked at the number of goals a team scores on average per game in the NHL this season compared to number of points scored per game by an NBA team this season.
Mm-hmm.
So on average, a team scores just over 3 goals a game in the NHL, 3.17 to be exact. In the NBA, a team averages 112.9 points per game. So for every goal scored in the NHL, you're looking about the average of just over 35 points a game, 35.62 in the NBA. So if you look at 9-8 final score in the NHL, that is the equivalent of a team winning 320 to 285 in the NBA. That's the level of offense in that game.
It's a strange one. I actually think that, I mean, because obviously that sounds bananas.
Yeah.
I think, though, the better comparison might be football. So what is the average score in the NFL? It's we're probably talking about
the Denver Broncos?
yes. We're probably talking about 24 points, something like that. I'm just going to guess at the average score in the NFL is about 24 points. But what you are talking about here is a game that ended up like 70 to 64 in overtime.
Possibly.
Right, that's what we're talking about. Actually, it might even be more than that. But
all right, so I'm going to do the math here super fast. So the average is actually 21.9 points per game.
I think it would actually be higher. It's so far and away out of the norm, but we have seen teams get to 8 this year.
Yeah.
So 9-8, I think it's more surprising because it went to overtime at eight apiece. Right, and by the way, what happened in the third period?
Well, the LA Kings scored twice, but yeah,
Seattle tried to park the bus.
Apparently, they conceded a couple and they forced extra time. But in the NFL, based off scoring this season, again, the average NFL score per game for a team is 21.9. You're looking at a 62-55 final score in overtime.
So then, football's not even. I don't know. I actually think it's a relatively accurate portrayal of it.
You're talking about the NFL?
The NFL.
Yeah.
I think I don't think there's enough time to score 300 points or 320.
Oh, I know. I'm just.
But, right. It's just bonkers.
It's just fun to think about.
Here's why did I take that literally?
I that's a great question, Adam.
I should
that
be
is
embarrassed.
A great question.
I should be embarrassed for taking
But you had
literally.
Me do the math and I did it.
Well,
and you got to think this is also the lowest scoring points per game in the NFL since 2017.
It's not been a great year. I think it's getting better. The first 6-7 weeks of the NFL was awful.
Yeah.
I think the league is getting better. It's not great, but it's getting better.
I do love how you took that literally.
I'm actually ashamed now that I think about it. Now that I think, this is my problem with some movies where I take things too literally. Like, sometimes you should just be able to suspend reality and just relax. And I have a hard time with that, I think.
Wingstop's doing what they do best, taking flavor to the next level. So when chicken sandwiches only came in spicy and plain, Wingstop said, nah, make it 12 flavors. Lemon pepper chicken sandwich, OG hot, mango habanero. You get the picture? Every famous Wingstop flavor, now on the new Wingstop chicken sandwich. Try all 12 and find your favorite at Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings. Huh.
With the new Chevy Silverado, you might be driving in this. But with the Silverado's redesigned interior and large infotainment screens, it'll feel more like this. Introducing the new 2022 Chevy Silverado. Find new upgrades. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
We are dangerously close to a couple of very important Group C matches at the World Cup. Poland and Argentina. Poland needs just a result, a win or a draw to move on. Saudi Arabia and Mexico. You know, Saudi Arabia can win the group? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, those matches are starting in about a little bit more than 10 minutes.
That game against Argentina was wild, by the way.
I have not seen. I have every game recorded. I am going to go back and watch that.
It was wildly fun.
I am going to go back and watch that. I am, this has been, I don't know. I have a lot of people talking about it. I don't know that the actual football has been great. There have been a lot of games that were kind of slogs, but man, the three U.S. games I watched and a lot of the other stuff, like Spain-Germany was kind of tight,
mm-hmm.
Right? That was a fun game though. Anyway, I love the tournament. Absolutely love the tournament. All right, let me just bring this up before we place bets. Carolina Hurricanes won two games in a row for the first time in 3.5 weeks. They actually started the month of November with consecutive wins. They won on the 3rd and the 4th. And they closed out the month of November with consecutive wins. In between, they went 3-4-4. That's not good.
No.
Actually, no. In between, they went 2-4-4.
That's even worse.
Right? They were in the 10 games. There were 14 games in November. They won the first two, won the last two, and went 2-4-4 in the others. And they won in overtime yesterday after a 5-game overtime losing streak. They won their first overtime game against Philadelphia. They lost their next 5 in OT, not in a shootout. They lost their next 5 games that were decided in overtime, and they won last night on a kind of awkward-looking 2-on-0. That did not look smooth. You remember the 2-on-0 with Aho and Natchez passing the puck back and forth to each other?
Mm-hmm.
Back and forth? Like, that looked a lot smoother than Svechnikov and Pesci.
Very much.
And I really think they were lucky that Pesci kind of got the puck up enough to beat Jari last night to win the game. But at least they did it, because, man, they had a number of 2-on-1 opportunities that they did not finish. Holy cow. If I were Rod Brind'Amour, I would do an entire practice of just 2-on-1s. Or 2-on-1s or 3-on-2s. I've never seen a team not even get shots off on 2-on-1 opportunities. Like, how do you not at least attempt a shot? But anyway, the Hurricanes have played reasonably well. Probably better than their record shows, but they have not finished reasonably well. And I keep pointing to this. If you put any stock at all into expected goals in hockey, Carolina has underperformed by a lot. By a lot, they have underperformed. They are creating the opportunities. If it levels off even just a bit, Carolina's going to be in great shape. That's it. If we use the phrase, water finds its level, Carolina's going to be in great shape, because the chances created generally doesn't change. It's the finishing that does. So I think Carolina's probably in pretty good shape. Should we place bets?
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Death! Okay, you can owe me. I owe you one.
All right, sir. I broke even yesterday on my World Cup. I had all 3 wagers on USA and Iran. And if Tim Weah's goal had counted,
yeah,
I would have had an anytime goal scorer, but I did have a clean sheet for the U.S.
That's good.
Yeah.
Congrats to the U.S.
Thank you very much.
So, actually, when I was here with Hayes Permar on Friday last week, I was +5.
Excellent.
+5.
$5?
Yep, 5 units.
That's fine.
+5 units.
5 M&Ms.
So I'm at 1980 still. +1980. Give me Argentina and Mexico both win. Parlay that together, +125.
All right. So you have Argentina and Mexico?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I think Argentina's going to win, but I do not think we're going to see a draw. I think Argentina either wins, or I think Argentina pushes for a win and loses.
Okay.
But I think Argentina will win and will go through. In the other match, no faith in Mexico, my friend.
None?
No faith at all in Mexico. Saudi Arabia wins.
Oh.
+440.
Okay.
And I don't know that Saudi Arabia might not win the group.
Okay.
But I think they would. I'd have to look at the goal differential. Because even though they beat Argentina, it would probably come down to goal differential if Argentina wins. Both would be on 6 points. But Saudi Arabia over Mexico +440.
I wonder where the committee would put them.
14 seed.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I'm going to do a college basketball parlay. I'm actually going to give you 2 parlays. I'm going to give you my first of my 2 college basketball parlays. A lot of in-state matchups taking place today. UNC Greensboro plays A&T.
They do.
Give me UNCG over North Carolina A&T State.
Okay.
High Point plays Elon. Give me High Point over Elon.
All right.
Gardner Webb plays Western Carolina. Give me Gardner Webb as well. All three of those teams win. Parlay that together, plus 195. A lot of heavy favorites.
Wow. Yes. good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, we're staying in the World Cup. Morocco, and this is tomorrow.
Yeah, Morocco plays tomorrow.
Morocco plays, I have it in front of me, Canada tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Morocco and Canada will play to a draw at plus 240.
Okay. UNC needs a win. Give me UNC and Duke both winning today.
Okay.
Plus 290.
Nice. Croatia and Belgium.
Of course.
I have no faith in Belgium.
Sure.
But I think this is going to be a tight match. Me that as a draw as well at 235.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you a bonus parlay.
Give it to me.
UNC, Miami, and Duke to all win.
All right.
All right.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Wingstop's doing what they do best, taking flavor to the next level. So when chicken sandwiches only came in spicy and plain, Wingstop said, nah, make it 12 flavors. Lemon pepper chicken sandwich, OG hot, mango habanero. You get the picture? Every famous Wingstop flavor, now on the new Wingstop chicken sandwich. Try all 12 and find your favorite at Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings.